Yeah, well, we're you know, winding it down here today. As I said at the beginning of the week, you know, New Orleans really does a good job in every area of the game. They're a tough team to prepare for. So, you know, we'll keep grinding through it here the next couple of days, try to do as much as we can, you know, get all our bases covered, and I'll be ready to go on Sunday. But looking forward to the challenge and the opportunity, and you know, it's a good football team coming in here.
Bill, what you guys signed to the defensive tackle on Andre Neblett. What is his skill set? What do you hope he can
bring? He's got some experience. You know, played at Carolina, Tampa, through preseason, played against him. He's got good playing strength, and you know, he's played a decent number of plays over the past 3 years. You know, a couple hundred plays a year type of thing. So he's got some experience.
Is he more of a three technique? Does he have versatility?
Play both.
No, it wasn't three technique.
You mentioned how many different types of looks the Saints will give you with their offense. Is there any type of number you can put on how many different types of personnel packages or things like that?
Offensively?
Yeah.
I'd say all of them. Yeah, pretty much anyone you want to. You name one, they probably use it, yeah. Lineman playing tight end, all the big people packages, all the skill packages, two backs, full back, two half backs. Yeah, you pick one out, they probably show them.
I didn't know, like, it was something where you could put an actual number, like you've seen 25 or 30 different packages or something like that.
We've seen any combination you want to say, we've probably seen it. I mean, they certainly feature, you know, some more than others. You know, a lot of two backs and two receivers and one tight end on early downs. Some two tight ends, one back, two receivers. Some three receivers, one back, one tight end. And then all the other groupings, you know, they mix in a lot of other groupings with that. So those are the three main ones.
Bill, in the week or so that you've had Austin Colley here, been working with him, as he it seemed like he's been able to pick up what he needs to know and would be able to contribute if called upon.
We'll see. I mean, it's a process. I think we're definitely gaining ground. Austin's worked hard. Chad O'Shea, you know, receivers coach, spent a lot of time with him, a lot of extra time. So I think it's coming. We'll see, you know, how close we feel like we are this week. Today will be a big day where we review everything, go through some situations, you know, kind of put it all back together. So we'll see how things go today and make some kind of decision on Sunday. But I think that'll be part of it.
Phil, looking at the numbers to this point through the first five games, you've given up far fewer pass plays of 20-plus yards than you did it through this point last year. Can you point to the stability in the secondary? Is it just those guys and the cohesion they have now, maybe playing so many games together? Is there one or two things you can point to for why that is?
Well, it was an awful lot at the beginning of the year last year. I mean, it was at a torrid pace, which got better, a lot better during the once we got into the season or further into the season. Those numbers decreased. Well, that part of that was Devin moving to safety. Better overall defense, better community, you know, I don't know. But that was the first half of the year last year. You could compare that to anything and say it was a lot. I mean, any year, any team, any other comparable period, I'd say that would be a lot. So, you know, that's always our goal, though. I mean, never want to give up big plays defensively. You know, make them drive the ball, make them, you know, earn their yards. You know, give it up in big chunks. So, which will be, you know, a big challenge for us this week, but that's our objective every game, every year, every play, honestly.
You see a lot of talented third down backs, but how unique is it for New Orleans to have two running backs who are so talented in the passing game?
Yeah, they've been very productive in the passing game. You know, some of that's the quarterbacks using them, plus the other vertical threats that they have, which create some space for the backs. I mean, it's hard to get on the backs when you have the guys that they have in the passing game. And Drew does a good job of getting on the ball, but they're both good. They're, you know, Sproles is a dynamic player, but Thomas is, you know, very underrated. And, you know, he's been a very productive guy too. So, yeah, they're both good.
Bill, how about the use of Collins as a fullback? Do they use the fullback position
especially
in passing. Yeah, as I said, that's their leading group on early downs. Two backs, one tight end, and two receivers with him as the fullback. That's their leading. So, yeah, they use it quite a bit. He does a good job. You know, he's a good, you know, catches the ball well, blocks well. Seems like a dependable player. You know, a guy they count on at the point of attack on a lot of plays. So, yeah, I think he's a guy who doesn't get a lot of, you know, publicity, but he's a solid player for him, has a good role, and helps, you know, helps a lot of other things go. So, yeah, he does a good job. Does a good job in a kicking game, too, kickoff returns. You know, he's, you know, a key guy for him there, you know, with Sproles in terms of, you know, being a point of attack guy on some of their returns, their blocking patterns. So, yeah, he does a good job.
So there's a report out there about Rob's forearm surgeries and that there's some concern that there's some lingering effects and concern over Dr. Gill's work. I'm wondering, as the coach of the team, if you have any concerns with the work of your team doctor.
I think I've already talked about that.
Did you?
Absolutely.
About the work of Dr. Gill?
Absolutely.
When did you talk about it?
We'll get you the quotes if you don't have them. But as it relates to our medical people, that's, you know, we have confidence in all of them, and they do a good job.
Ben Watson, you mentioned in our early downs they do a lot of two backs, one tight end, two receivers. So does that sort of put him as more of a out of the mix, or like, I guess what I'm saying is, how much do you see them using him?
He's in there. I mean, they use everybody.
What do you see from him? I mean,
the player we saw when he was here.
What skill sets does he show? Is he using more as a blocker, pass catcher, or both?
Yeah, I mean, he's in there on really all situations. He's in there when there are two tight ends. He's in there when there's one tight end. Sometimes it's Graham, sometimes it's him. I mean, it's more Graham than him, but, you know, he's in there too. Whatever the play is, and he does it. And if he blocks, he blocks. If he's out, he's out. Pass protects, pass protects. I mean, I'm sure they have a pattern to it, but there's not. It's not like you could really count heavily on, well, this is what he's going to do when he's in the game. That's, I don't think you can say that.
As you've studied them, I mean, have you noticed any marked difference between their games at home in the dome versus outside? I mean, obviously looked pretty efficient last week outside, but
they've been pretty good all the time. Yeah, I mean, they're a good team.
Bill, I know the focus is victory number 5 this year, but a win would put you at 210 for your career moving past Chuck Knoll. You had a chance to coach against him in his final season. Just curious about the level of respect you have for his body of work and what it was like to go against him.
A tremendous respect for Coach Knoll. Yeah, he's one of the, you know, one of the great coaches. When I came into the league, you know, in 75 and for the next 15 years, and I had the opportunity to coach with several coaches who were at Pittsburgh with Coach Knoll. And so some of the things that I learned from them or about him through them, or however you want to call it, and then, of course, competing against him when we were at the Giants. We played them every year in preseason. It seemed like every year. Maybe we might have missed one in there, but it seemed like we usually played them in preseason, so we played them on a regular basis. And then, of course, in Cleveland, they were you know, in the division, as you mentioned, that first year that he was there. So, I have tremendous respect for Coach Knoll and his whole program there. You know, they were an excellent team, and they were a good, sound team, a team that you always, as a coach outside of Pittsburgh, always looked at them and tried to look at what they were doing and learn from it, their fundamentals, their techniques, their scheme, which wasn't, you know, overly complicated, but it was, you know, very sound. And then, of course, when Nick, you know, came to Cleveland, who coached with George Perlis at Michigan State, when they ran the Pittsburgh defense, a stunt 4-3 defense, then, you know, Nick brought a lot of those ideas, concepts to Cleveland, and, you know, Nick and I kind of merge there with some of the things we had done in New York, some of the things that he had done, you know, as a defensive coordinator under Perlis at Michigan State, which was a Steelers defense, so forth. So that was another great opportunity for me to, you know, really gain knowledge of that system without actually being there. You know, when I was in Detroit, Raleigh Dotch was there, who was at Pittsburgh for, you know, a number of years. So, yeah, I mean, I think that their program, what they did there schematically and all, was very, very good. And, you know, Coach Knoll and his approach to the game, his consistency, his, you know, kind of level demeanor and the consistency they had, I thought was always, you know, exemplary. I mean, right at the top of, you know, coaches that I tried to, you know, learn from and take things from them or their, you know, I don't know how much it was him or Bud Carson or, you know, Perlis or, you know, where one stopped and the other started, but like the whole combination of what they did there at the Steelers, I thought was, you know, pretty impressive. And going against them every year as a defensive coach against their offense when I was with the Giants through all those years in the 80s was also, you know, always, a, you know, a good, I mean, it was a great experience because they were so well balanced. They threw the ball down the field. They ran the ball. They had, you know, a good balance attack. And so, you know, I think I learned a lot from the outside at looking at that program that Coach Knoll ran. And then Bilk really kind of had somewhat of a continuation of that, even though they changed defensively to his blitz zone package. But a lot of the things that they did fundamentally there, especially on the offensive side of the ball, you know, with Dick Hoke staying there in the running game and all that, were, you know, it was, you know, a couple decades of work stuff really that, you know, was a carryover from Coach Knoll and the consistency that they had all the way up into, you know, this century, in the 2000s. I don't know when Dick retired, but, I mean, you know, when Coach Earhart was there and all that, I mean, there was still a lot of, you know, I think a lot of carryover from some of the things that Coach Knoll established. But as far as the other part of it goes, I'd say, you know, my focus is really on this game and, you know, whatever win it is or isn't, it's not really that important right now. And whatever wins we have had, because players have played well, I'm not out there throwing any passes or making any tackles. So,
Phil, a lot of the Saints players have said how Sean's made a huge difference for them on game day. You know, from a coach's standpoint, what does Sean do on game day that's so difficult for any coach to go up against?
I mean, I don't know. You'd have to talk to their players about that. I only played against them a couple of times. But as I said, he's a good coach. They do a good job. They are aggressive. They attack the field. They're well prepared. I mean, they have a good team. So,
is he hard to deal with from a tendency standpoint specifically? Like, you know, you don't see, you know, whether it's third and one or second and 12, there's not a ton to read on there.
I don't know. I mean, they have a good package. He's a good play caller. I mean, I can't think of any good team that doesn't have tendencies. Maybe I'm missing something there, but I don't think I could name one good team in any sport that doesn't have tendencies. I mean, that's how you're good, is you do things well, and they do that. So do they have tendencies? Yeah, but they have enough balance and they have enough ways to complement what they do that, you know, you still have to defend everything. But I can't think of any good team that doesn't have pretty strong tendencies. I mean, if you look at any good team, you think, all right, well, this is what that team does. If you can't think of anything that they do, then, in all honesty, it's probably not a real good team.
Because Parcells called him an indiscriminate play caller, which is kind of, I guess, that was posed to me as one of the challenges facing.
Well, I mean, I think he's a good play caller. I'm not saying that. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that they do well that they continue to do. But they also have complementary plays off them, so that if you just gear up for one thing, then, you know, you're going to be caught light somewhere else. So, you have to ask Bill about that, I'm not sure. Again, I've never, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with Sean. I mean, he called plays for Bill for I don't know how many years in Dallas. So I'm sure Bill has a lot better idea of his game day play calling than I would have any concept of.
Last question.
Marcus Colston brings some unusual size to the slot. What kind of mismatches does that create on defense?
Yeah, he's a different kind of slot receiver, you know, similar to like Vincent Jackson we saw in Tampa when they put him in the slot. So, you know, we've seen that from time to time. You know, some slot receivers are bigger physical guys that create, you know, that type of mismatch. Other guys are, you know, quicker, short area, explosive guys that, you know, create that type of matchup in there. So, you know, he's definitely a big guy that can get down the seam. You know, made a big play against Tampa to put him in position to kick the field goal to win the game. So, that, I mean, those are the kind of plays that he can really hurt you on, vertical plays, crossing routes, flag patterns, seam patterns, things like that. You know, he's not as much of a, you know, run 3 or 4 yards and, you know, run return routes and things like that to get open. I'm not saying he can't do that, but that, you know, his thing is more as a vertical receiver down the field. And his size and his ball skills are, you know, a tough matchup, no question. But, again, each team has its own, you know, own type players. And, you know, we've go through the course of the year, matchup against fast guys, big guys, quick guys, you know, push-off guys, get open with technique. You know, I mean, everybody's got their own skill set. And so that's the challenge every week of matching up against whatever individual skills that particular team's players have. But I'd say, like, similar to Vincent Jackson, though, that type of concept of that player in the slot, similar. Okay, thank you.